The summer sermon series is titled Critters of the Kingdom. Excuse me, Critters of the Kingdom. And the critter of the week is the ant. Our Bible reading is from Proverbs 6, 6 to 8, and is recorded on page 589 in the Old Testament portion of the Red Pew Bible. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. The word of the Lord.
Now may the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Indeed, we continue our summer sermon series titled Critters of the Kingdom. And as spoken, the Bible animal of the week is the ant. You know, thinking about it, the ant is probably less recognized as an animal, maybe more of a creature, but probably even more so as a pest, because indeed it is a bug. Ants inhabit every continent on planet Earth with the exception of one continent. Can you believe which one it might would be? Antarctica. That's right, yep. Underground colonies, they can burrow down some 35 feet. They can build structures that are 500 times their height. There's more than 12,000 different species of ants. Some of the more common ones that we deal with are sugar ants, carpenter ants, army ants, pavement ants, and probably the most notorious among us is the fire ant. Fire ant. Yeah, step on a mound of those and they will light you up. You know, you get those ants in your pants and you're going to do some sort of dance. Ants are not welcome at the family picnic, nor are any of them going to get a Christmas card from any of us. And yet, surprisingly, on the affirmative side, ants are very constructive. They're contributors to the environment. They break down fallen plants and dead animals. They're even mentioned in a positive light in the Bible. You see, our Bible scripture today says from the book of Proverbs that, just to think about the book of Proverbs, it was written by a fellow, King Solomon, known to be the wisest man who have ever lived. And he wrote this book of 31 chapters, God-inspired book, as a basic, practical, pearl of wisdom type of input for people of faith. Proverbs 6:6 begins with these four words which you're going to drill down on today. It says, go to the ant. Yeah, if you want to be wise, we're going to have to humble ourselves. We're going to have to lean into this simple, lowly creature and realize that there is something of value if we just observe and then relate it to our faith. Go to the ant. And as we think about this spiritually, just who might that ant be? No. Not Aunt Nellie. Not Aunt Carolyn. More likely, it's the answer to the question that Daniel asked in the children's message so many times, right? When he asked the kids a certain question, and if 90% of the time they answer what, they'll be right. What is it? Jesus. God and Jesus. God and Jesus. Yes. Ding, ding, ding. You get that answer correct. You know, in a very similar way, Martin Luther, the father of Lutheranism, once said this. He said that all the books of the Bible, all the chapters, all the verses in the Bible, somehow, someway, ultimately point to Jesus. And if that's true, which I believe it is, the ant then in our story spiritually can refer to Jesus. Hey, let's seek some faith wisdom this morning as we focus on these first four words of this passage. Go to the ants. But actually three words, go to Jesus. And you know, you may be able even to stretch that a little bit and think about Jesus as our serve ant. Number one, go to the ant to restore community. You know, rarely will you find an ant that's all by itself. Occasionally one will go rogue, one will get lost. But most times it's a business of a whole slew of them. You know, it's like my mother-in-law once said. She said, we're talking about snakes around the house. She said, where there's one, you're going to find two. Well, even more so with ants. Where there's one, there's probably thousands. You see, ants are social creatures. They average colony has somewhere between 100,000 and 500,000 worker ants in it. And what they're doing, they're bumping into one another. They're crawling over each other. Some are going left. Some are going right. It's organized chaos, busy as bees. And here's the point. As crazy and as frenzied as all that looks, they are living and they are working together in community. You know, most times this community thing is a good thing, is it not? No. It is a great thing to be in community, sharing time and space with family and with friends, with children, grandchildren, spouses, co-workers. But you know, due to the fact that we are sinful human beings, we tend to mess things up in this life, do we not? We can get sideways with one another. We can be at odds, create broken relationships, grudges, even cut off, and not just with the ex, not just with former friends and sometimes family, but particularly with people who are different from us, different in race, color, politics. You know, I don't believe it is a big stretch to say that our country has probably never been more divided than what it is right now, at least probably in our lifetime. Extreme left, extreme right, Democrats and Republicans, liberal and conservative, and grave differences, huge differences over COVID and COVID vaccines, over things like gun control and abortion, skin color. All these issues tend to polarize instead of calling us to compromise. And it seems that polarization is our new normal. In my lifetime, I have never, ever heard such derogatory rhetoric when referencing the one in the Oval Office. You know, it's no surprise to drive up to a gas pump and to pull it out and put fuel in your vehicle and look on the side of the gas pump and see that it says F. Biden on the side of it. You know, that's not a new thing. That's not a new thing. We saw F. Trump on bumper stickers and Facebook as well. And F doesn't stand for Fred, right? What has our U.S. of A. come to? You know, we sure don't have to agree with the president, but such disrespect for the office undermines our unity as Americans and as Christians. All to say that I would venture to say that we would make very poor ants. Truth be told, due to our sin, at times we would be very poor humans, possibly even not so good of Christians. So what does the ant say to us? What does our faith wisdom from the great and mighty servant Jesus share with us for restoration of a busted up community? Well, many times over in the Bible, Jesus speaks of love and loving our neighbor as ourselves. And he was once questioned, just who is my neighbor, Jesus? And so in response, Jesus basically said that neighbors aren't just people who you like. They're not just people who we associate with, not just people who are even like us. And that comes to color and heritage and faith and family, people also who are different from us. He explained the idea of neighbor in a story he told about a good Samaritan. And we have to realize that in the Bible culture, a good Samaritan, well, the two words were rarely associated with one another. Good and Samaritan, those are oxymorons. The only good Samaritan to a Jew was a dead Samaritan. And so it was this stereotype bad guy, the Samaritan, the enemy of the Jews, who actually became the hero in Jesus' story. He uplifted the Samaritan as the one who took the initiative to restore broken community between Jews and Samaritans. I hope we not only sing, but we also teach our children, red, brown, yellow, black, and white, all are precious in his sight. You see, in Christ, it's not about the elephant. It's not about the donkey. It's about the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who calls us to march to the beat of a different drum, taking the initiative to work together to value the whole of humanity and not just our selective parts of it. That's point one. No? Point two is go to the ant for strength. Daniel spoke to it in his children's message this morning. These tiny, seemingly weak, vulnerable critters, you know, you can step on one, you can crush one underfoot, and you can smear it on the cement just like that. But they are actually some of the strongest ounce-for-ounce creatures on planet Earth. Ants are powerhouses which remind us to never underestimate the size and the ability. That these minuscule insects, they can carry anywhere from 10 to 50 times their body weight. Just depends upon the breed. A 2-milligram ant can carry 10 times its own weight, depending upon the breed. And that would be, brothers and sisters, equivalent to a 180-pound man carrying a cow. Dynamite comes in small packages. It is definitely a reference to the ant. They've got this hidden strength, and they flex these Herculean muscles. And you and I, we might just be inspired by these little creatures' strength and think that if they can do it, then we can do it too. But I have to tell you, I'm not so inspired. I'm disheartened. I'm disheartened particularly when I'm down and sad, maybe when I'm depressed or stressed. And I hear that echo in my heart and in my mind where people say, well, pick yourself up by your bootstraps. They say, put your big boy undies on. They say, suck it up, buttercup. And sometimes I need to hear that message. I need to certainly get it in gear and courageously again engage life. But I have to say most of the time I'm encouraged by the spiritual words, those songs that we often sing. I am weak, but thou art strong. Or, little ones to him belong. We are weak, but he is strong. I'll let the singing, I'm going to leave that up to you, Brian. One of the messages that this world pumps into our hearts and lives is this sign, I am enough. Which means that we're strong, we can be independent. We stand on our own. It means that if we just reach deep enough within ourselves that we can overcome any adversity. But brothers and sisters in Christ, this is not the message of our faith. It's not even always possible. You know, we are not built Chevy tough, like the commercial may say. Yes, the Bible does say, I can do all things, but that's not the end of that passage. It says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I have to tell you, real strength. Real strength comes in knowing that at times we are weak and we need help. Hey, here's a picture of my little grandson, Graham. He is 2.5 years old. And can't you tell that he takes after me? Yeah, the tongue is always flying in the air. Yeah. Well, he's 2.5 years old and he's in that stage of life where he is independent. Graham, do it. Graham, dude it. He calls me Detto. That's Czech. That's Bohemian for grandpa. Detto, Graham dude it. Okay, Graham dude it. Well, this last week I got to be with him for a little bit, and he is kind of coming to grips with some of his own personal limits. And now the common phrase, when he can't quite muster the strength to do something is he'll look up at you and say, I need help. Boy, what a great admission. What a great prayer for us. God, I need help. I can't bear this emotional pain alone. I can't go through this burden by myself. I need you, Lord. I need help. And Scripture reminds us that Jesus is quick. He is quick to answer as he says in Matthew 11, come to me. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, that message is repeated throughout the Psalms. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. We are not like the ant because we are not like God. We are not enough. He be the ant. He be the one to turn to in our weakness. And our third point today is go to the ant, go to Jesus for a reboot. you know, we reboot our computers so that they can reset. It kind of clears the deck, and it goes back to that original default setting. I think that ants, as we observe them, are very tenacious when it comes at rebooting their mounds. I recall times when I was a kid, I would be out in the country at my grandmother and grandfather's farm, and I'd come across one of those big red ant piles, and I'd take a stick, silly me, I'd take a stick and I'd stir it up. I'd stir the mound up. I'd put zigzags and crosses and X's. I'd send those six-legged creatures into mayhem, only to come across that former ant pile 2-3 days later, and they had regained focus. They had sorted out the mess. They had drilled down on their purpose. The mound was pert near restored to its original condition. Ants seem to have this dogged determination that is second to few, to be able to restart from ground zero and reboot. There's times in our own lives when we get knocked off course, is there not? Times when the rug gets yanked on us, we get bumped off course, bad news of an illness, maybe a flailing marriage, maybe a financial crisis, we fall into a tailspin. And sometimes, like a cat, we can rebound and fall on all fours. And other times, it's like a 2x4 right between the eyes. It smacks us in the jaw, and we are slow to recover. You know, I got to thinking that there's also other times. Times when there is no storm going on in our life, but we still get stuck. Maybe life is in a vicious cycle. You know the cycle, don't you? Well, the alarm goes off, we get up, we eat, we dress, we go to work, we come home, we watch TV, we get on Facebook for several hours, and then we go to sleep, and we do it all over again the next day, the next day, and the next day. Busyness becomes our drug. Running on fumes, hitting brick walls, going through the motions of life without always living life. And the season seems to be one that's hot, dry, just like it is outside right now, with very little chances of rain in our forecast. Well, it's in these times, both the storm as well as when we get hypnotized by the rat race, that we become distracted and we lose our focus on what's most important in our lives, relationships and marriage and children and family and God, of course, and serving and love and care. Our priorities get all mixed up and scrambled up. We get confused. Our luster for life, our zeal and our purpose and passions become dulled. And we meander. We need clearer purpose and direction. The Bible verse says, go to the ant. Go to Jesus. And how? How is that even possible? How do we go to the ant? How do we go to Jesus? We don't have the energy. We don't have the oomph to even think straight, but much less reshuffle our own deck. Well, get this, praise be to God that we don't always go to the ant, but the ant comes to us. We love because he first loved us. We forgive because he first forgave us. We go to him because he first came to us. You see, Jesus Christ became that suffering serve ant. The book of Philippians says it well. It says, though he was in the form of God, he did not hold on to being like God, but he humbled himself. He became obedient. He became human flesh and even took on the cross. You see, though he was large and in charge, though he was strong, he became weak. He took on our human flesh. And he did that to serve our spiritual needs of forgiveness and hope and encouragement and peace. He goes to the cross and takes the punishment that we should have deserved. He descended to us. We do not ascend to him. I love how Romans 5 says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God didn't wait for us to achieve some sort of level of morality or righteousness before he sent Jesus. While we were yet in the pit, Christ came to us. Today we have a baptism of Theodore Rex. And it's in the waters of holy baptism that Jesus comes to us. There's no way that this six-week-old comes to Jesus. Jesus comes to him. And it's the same in Holy Communion today, brothers and sisters. It's in the body and blood of Jesus Christ, in this bread and wine, that he comes to us with forgiveness, with light in your darkness, with strength in your weakness, with hope in your struggles, and with peace in your storms. God's word for us is a word of wisdom. Go to the ant. Go to Jesus, the one who first came to us, to our broken relationships, to restore our community, for strength in our weakness, and to reboot life for us in him. Amen. Amen. Let's